So I think we should start with some introductions because we do have a few new people here today. Before we launch into that, just so especially for the new people to know, the purpose of the meeting is coming out of a more than 1 year process of trying to think about and learn about the Puerto Rican experience in Philadelphia. It's been decided we're going to create a website. And tonight at the meeting, we want to go over some preliminary design and content issues with this group to get a direction to go for building this website. And then there's also the opportunity to sign on to actually help develop content too. Many of the people here were people meeting over the last year, but it was the group thought we needed to skew younger and bring in some additional people to work with us. And so that's why we have happy to have more people here with us. So with that, as I said, my name's Beth. I actually work at the Historical Society of Pennsylvania, and we are the group that got the grant, but in concert with Pierre.
My name is Masada. I work here in the archives, and I basically just clean up and organize everything in the archives.
My name is Monica. I do communications work at HSP.
Can you hear on the phone?
Barely.
I cannot.
I wonder if there's a way to make it louder.
No. Down there. This right here.
Okay.
We also need to
just speak more loudly.
Yep.
Yes.
Are you done here?
Yeah.
Okay. Katie then.
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm an intern at HSP. I'm here for this few younger.
Hi, I'm John. I'm here as an assistant for the YAP program.
I'm Van Duren, and I guess I skew on the older side.
I guess I'm not skewing either older or younger.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. My name is Adi Arnau. I teach history at Temple, predominantly, and at St. Joe's and a few other institutions.
I'm Marilyn Rodriguez, and I'm the education director here. I'm also an artist, and I was also part of the whole process from the beginning. And I'm going to see it to the end. Okay.
I'm Carmen Feo, and I'm the director here at Taller Puerto Riqueño and part of the project as well.
My name is Katarina, and I'm a development and marketing at Taller.
And on the phone, we have Mona. Do you want to give a word of introduction?
My name is Mona Kolsky, and I teach at Rosemont College, and I've worked with the School District of Philadelphia for decades.
And Sandy?
My name is Sandy Hewlett. I'm a genealogy professional and also serve on the board of the Historical Society of Pennsylvania.
Great. And we were just joined by, we're doing introductions.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rosanna, and I'm saying what groups I'm affiliated with, or not necessarily?
Whatever you want to say to introduce yourself.
I'm Rosanna. I am a parent. I have four daughters. I have a teaching degree, and my parents are from Argentina.
Awesome.
And for those of you who are new, we videotape our meetings so that we can actually use this as part of the grant. Was as much about the process as the product and about how we put this together. And so we're working on creating that. And in particular, one of the things I want to announce to everyone, the grant included a requirement, might be too strong a word, but a desire that we go out and talk about the process at different kinds of conferences. And so we submitted a whole lot of different applications, and we just heard in the last 10 days, we've been accepted at 3 of the 4 of them.
All right, congratulations.
Yeah. So the very...
I only heard about one.
All right. So the very first one is April 4th for the museum and web conference about the whole idea of doing a website by committee. So I asked Gustavo if he would come in and film this so we can show this as part of that process. Where are we? First of all, we're going to talk about the design of the website, then we'll talk about the content. At HSP, our IT people, were looking for a kind of platform to use for online exhibits, not just for this project, but for in general. And they chose Omeka S, excuse me, and have set up a kind of preliminary site for us. And Renee Hoffman, who's a graduate student at the University of the Arts, is interning with us on this project as well, but she couldn't come tonight. And she has gone in and created a couple sample pages so that we could take a look at what this is like. So as a way of sort of reminding everybody, what we had come down to was that basically this website was going to be a historical timeline of the Puerto Rican experience in Philadelphia, but then linking off of that, you would be able to get to a lot of other kind of content, such as documents that are in the archives here or at HSP, some oral histories that have been taken over time, artwork, that there would be these variety of things around it. Omeka is a fairly simple site. We can't do a lot of fancy things, but it is a site that you can embed a timeline in. For those of you who are at home, I can't get you into the website I'm going to show because it's password, but what I would recommend if you want to look at some time, and I can send this out in an email later, is we're using the timeline component that you can see on a website that promotes it. And that URL is timeline.nightlab, and that's KNIGHTLAB.com/pound overview. But I will send that out in email later too. But you can there see some other websites that have been built with this timeline, so you get a sense of what it looks like.
Okay.
Now, see if we can do this. Go up. Start over. Okay. Sorry for the break here.
It's no problem.
I can never type when I'm with a group of people.
It's easier with stylus.
Oh, yeah. So, not found. Okay. Maybe we'll all... One of the things I was worried about was whether this was going to show outside of HSP. Well, let me show you the example then.
This is the first time you tried it outside the HSP?
Well, it depends how they've set up the server. I thought they had redone it this week so that it could be...
accessible?
Yeah. It was taken down on Monday to redo it. Let's see if this is... Okay, this came up here. Now, how do we get it to...
We can just swipe up again.
Oh.
No.
And... again...
Yeah. Or just, I guess you go like that too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to.
I think if you tilt it like this,
it'll follow what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I went to the timeline.nightlab.com. And if you scroll down the page, there's an example. I'm going to go to the one that's Time, Mandela. If it will, come on, go. There we go. All right. Now, let's see if I can get this to be... trying to get it to fit on the page so you can see. So let me explain what this would look like. on the Omeka site. It's a horizontally organized website and timeline rather than a vertical timeline. We need to design some sort of logo, colors, hi, that kind of thing to go up the way it's laid out. It's the upper left. Then you have tabs that you can have across the top. And then we would have a little bit of quick text what this is, right? And then you go into this timeline. And the timeline, so here on this one you can see there's the title and a little bit of description and then the timeline. And the timeline's got years across the bottom, and as you move along it, there are these blocks of text set in that are the different events. What the web platform calls them are cards. So each card is a historical event. And if you were to click on one, it then takes you to a title, a date on some of them, usually an image. But it can also, where that image is, it can be a box for video.
An embedded video.
Mm. Embedded video, yep. It can be embedded audio, that kind of thing.
Is this going to be black and white?
No, this is just what this one is.
Okay.
trying to see on this one if there's a... let's see here. No, this one doesn't have it, but... you can have it so that at the edges of the card, there are the arrows that help you. You can go forward and backwards from that text portion as well as from the timeline across the bottom. You can also, with Omeka, have links off of that image or its caption or the title above. And what I had really wanted to show you and can't without being able to show you the other one, is that maybe I can sketch it out here and hold it up. We've been struggling with how do we do this with two languages. And so the thought is that when the title comes up at the top above this image or the embedded video that's above the timeline because you've clicked on something, that the title would be in English and in Spanish. And then you would click on those and it would take you to a page where instead of having more blocks of text here and thinking about is it English and Spanish and how do you get both in, you would click on the title in the language and it would take you to two mere pages but in the two different languages. And then that page, when you get to that page, it would, you know, have an image again probably. It would have a short paragraph of history. And then it would also have links so that you could go to any of the documents we've digitized or the artwork or oral histories. You know, there would be more links from that on that page. When I talked about the homepage having tabs on it, the other thing that those tabs could do is one of them could just go into linking all the narrative of the history. One can go into just thumbnails of all the documents or the whole list of oral histories so that you could go across the different types of content we're going to have as well as do it through the timeline. Mm-hmm. So it's good that it offers that kind of variety. One of the issues we're struggling with is that we know we're not going to have probably enough time and money and expertise to translate every single page. And so where do we start and stop? But we thought if we at least had the major chunks of history done, and then if you go to an oral history and it's only in Spanish, well, right now it's only in Spanish. It's not in English, too, that kind of thing. But we'll see as we go along how far we can go. Any questions or comments just on the general layout?
You may get user friendly, simple, which is a key, especially if you're first talking about adults.
Yeah.
I just wonder, how is it going to look? It's one thing to sort of see it on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to display the same way, or is it going to get all funky if you put it on a phone display?
Well, I just lost it here, but we had it on here on my phone when I was looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the height of the page, but you can get the whole timeline there.
Mm. And it's like just a pure internet, like that's, is that your browser on your phone? Or like you would use your browser on your phone to activate this, not like a, like an app?
No, it's not an app.
It's not an app.
It's just a...
That's extra fancy, right?
Yeah, it's just the...
And I think it'll get bigger as depending on the size of your phone.
Right, right.
Right, because they develop websites to be, to actually display on the phones differently than on the web, your actual browser on your computer.
Yeah.
Are there media limitations to the size of the images or the sort of saturation or the, like, the resolution on the video or blank?
That was an issue, and not just for this project, but for anything that we were doing at HSP. We want really high-resolution images so that they can be zoomed, particularly if they're documents that have to be read. And our IT folks fixed it so you could do that.
That's good.
So that part's in there.
Anything downloadable?
Well, I know in terms of, like, our documents... We're going to have a link so you can go to our digital library and download them from there. I'm not sure that you could download them from here.
No, it's okay.
Yeah. I think about it. Now, the one problem, and we'll get to this in a couple minutes when we talk about content, is that as full as that timeline looked, the company that creates that timeline suggests you don't do more than 20 events. Or 20 cards, because of the time it would take people to download. So we were talking about the fact that we know we're probably going to want more than that. And so John, our IT person, said, well, you could probably have a few more. It's just realize if it's going to take really a long time to download on somebody's browser, they're going to get tired and walk away and not use it. So today, Renee and I were talking about maybe there's a way that on the timeline... there is something that makes you click open a year, but then when you go to the page behind it, you actually can link to a number of pages.
Mm.
So if something happened in early 1959 and later in 1959, you could branch out that way. So there might be a way to begin to add more content in that sense. We're going to have to play with it a little bit and see. Now, you asked the question about color. So it's not, in my understanding, unlimited what you can do, but there are ways to change the color, the font, obviously your logo, that kind of thing. And so Monica was talking to John about that, and she was going to kind of query all of you now about that part of it.
Is this a good time to go ahead and do it?
Yeah.
All right. It's going to make me take a little 5-minute break to ourselves. So folks who are on the phone, I think Beth sent this as a PDF attachment as well. So we're working on a creative brief to send to a designer that we're going to hire to work on the project as a whole. And as part of that, I was hoping to get your feedback. If you're thinking about this project in your mind's eye, just kind of what look and feel comes to mind. So I'm going to hand out a worksheet that will ask you a few questions, and I'll collect these after a few minutes, and then we're going to start passing them around. Thank you. We're going to kind of do a little heat map and just see, like, where the responses are clustering. Obviously, there are going to be some outliers, but I'm hoping that we'll be able to come to some sort of area where a lot of people's perspectives are aligning, and we can kind of move in that direction. So the first field that says name/text to include, you can ignore that. You can put your own name on there if you want, but this can be anonymous. It's not important that I know who you are. So please do choose up to 3 color stories as they describe them. And please also do the sort of ranking on the bottom that says how would you rate or describe your brand style? So you choose one in each of those fields. So is it more classic? Is it more modern? Is it somewhere in the middle? And then there's another question at the bottom asking for sort of your sketched thoughts or photos. Or you can ignore that part as well. If you want to draw something on the back, that's fine too. I don't want to take too much of your time. So I'll take a look at the time now and I can...
And I'm sorry, these
alert you
three choices that we're selecting are background colors so that when we're looking at the website, it's like the color, like you were saying, the facts, like if there are people, is that
so one? Unfortunately, I am not 100% sure yet. So this is a new platform that we're working with, so I can't say for sure exactly how the colors are going to be applied. And keep in mind, like, you know, the project will also live in print form in some cases. We're going to make postcards. We're going to have things like events that we're going to promote in other media. And so think of it more as a color palette as opposed to a color that's going to appear in a specific spot.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sandy and Mauna, did you happen to get the email with the attachment?
Yes, I have a sheet. I'm actually completing it right now.
Excellent. Because I was going to say, that was the hope, and then you can... mail them to us or scan them, whatever works for you.
I'll scan it for you for tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, that's
Thank
great.
You.
Is the brand style section on a scale that we're supposed to put in some...
Yeah, so there's three options for each one. So you would choose...
like neutral in the... like the middle one's neutral for modern and classic.
Yep, okay. You got it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or like in the middle...
Yeah.
Medium.
I just thought of something Monica and I were talking about on the way here. With the website pages that Renee made, I'll take screenshots tomorrow and email them to you. And that way, if you have further comment on it, you can respond to something.
That would be wonderful. Beth?
Yes.
Can we not choose any of the
colors?
Yes,
could
you tell me, in
even
terms
though I've
of
already
rating,
checked
the
off
brand
the,
style,
mm-hmm.
what
does,
totally what,
different?
Is there a key for the rating? Is there a scale of some sort? Or
Monica, she's got a question
That's
for you about the...
Sorry, I missed the beginning. Can you
same
repeat that? Same question. Okay. You're asking about the bottom question?
Yes.
It is like
no,
a scale.
No, the second one.
Yeah.
How would you rate or describe your brand style?
Yeah, so think of it like a scale. So if you look at the first one, classic is on one side, modern is on the other side, and then there's a box in the middle. So if you would say the style is more classic, check that box. If you think it's somewhere in between, check the middle box. Does that make sense? So you can do that for each one.
It does, yes. Thank you.
Yep.
So, but it's for our flesh.
I think of like the colors of the houses when you try
so
to your, like the canary yellow.
This is why I picked the bright
yes.
Yellow.
That's so when I'm looking at this, I'm thinking of like the houses, but I'm like, why would you just use the colors of the flag?
I almost want the website to pop out.
Yeah, that's, I guess I didn't think of it that way.
But do you want it to be the houses of Puerto Rico or the houses of Puerto Ricans in Philadelphia?
Well, I was, you know, that's,
well,
that's a good question.
If you look, the palette is the, you know, was captured in the panels, in
on
those
your
color
building?
Panels of the building.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to be kind of attenuated bright colors.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Rican iceberg.
Because if you look at that panel and then you look at the row of houses that it's right in front of, it sort of imitates it.
Oh, interesting. I'll have to go out and look in daytime.
During daytime, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just going to interject and say, if anybody has feedback like that, that, you know, none of these color palettes really speak to me, but I think the color palette on the front of the building is a good direction, just if you can write that down somewhere on the sheet, I'll take note of it. Or if you want to
Only
images
because
afterwards.
It serves as inspiration to the architect.
Yeah,
for the creation of the facade of the building.
Mm-hmm.
That one kind of fits.
or if any of you want to send images separately to me, that's fine
Yeah, I guess part of the thing is I'm looking at it. I have one set of thoughts, and then after I fill it out, I have a second set of thoughts. And I'm like,
maybe it's like the SATs that you're supposed to go with your first.
Just see for everything.
Yeah. If you really don't know it, then just don't fill it out.
Is everybody pretty much wrapped up? We're at 5 minutes now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah? All right. All right. Can you hand it back to me?
Sure thing.
So,
I'll take yours when you're ready. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi.
Thank you. Go.
I think if we skip you, Monica, I'll be okay on the number of people. Okay.
We can make copies of you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you want one, Monica?
I can just look later.
Okay. All right, so we talked about sort of the structure of it, the design of it. So the next thing is the content. And do you want to say a word about putting this together?
I'll be brief. This was a 22-page document or 25-page document. And my goal was to just try and cut it down and to make it as narrow as possible based upon the material that I have. Now, having said that, I know that folks at this table have done different kinds of research. It doesn't mean that stuff cannot get added to this. This is just a first pass.
Or subtracted.
Or subtract, or combined. I thought about things and I'm like, well, this could go with this. And there's a lot of decisions that have to be made in terms of how we set up the content. So what you're looking at is, I think this is what, I got it down to 10 pages-ish?
Nine.
Okay, in the book. Not bad. That's not bad.
And I don't think the ninth one is even complete.
But it starts in the 1850s and it goes to like 2006. Now, it's just one perspective on the events of Puerto Ricans here in Philadelphia. Because I'm 40-something, like, my perspective is very, very limited. So I have we have folks from, you know, different age groups, and I look forward to just having different sort of, a different set of eyes on this document, saying, hey, think about this. Hey, what about this? Or, so take a look at the document when you have the opportunity, and let me know what you think.
So the idea is, from my thinking about Omeka, on this chart, there's the date, and this would be one of those cards, right? And I counted up, and there are about 80 cards right now. And we want to think about 25?
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there may be things to add. One of the things that we had talked about, and I went ahead and added it to your document here, is that we have to remember the focus of the grant, which is about not just any and all aspects of the Puerto Rican experience in Philadelphia, but around neighborhoods, the development of neighborhoods. Very early on in the PAWS experience, we talked about defining what is a neighborhood, and some of it was geographic, and some of it was... Yeah, that kind of thing. And it also, in the grant, we talked about the economic forces, and this came out in our discussion that we had, too, at PAWS, the economic forces that transform neighborhoods and may have on an individual basis, like, why do you decide to live where you live or to move when you move, that kind of thing, to the larger issues of gentrification and racism and other forces like that that affect neighborhoods. So that was... It's still very wide, but that was the particular slice I was looking at with this. What I did want to ask you is, what are the difference between the two columns?
The central column is exactly as you sort of indicated. It's the beginnings of a narrative. The column on the sort of far right are like key terms, other sort of movements that might sort of bear... that might be sort of brought to bear. So it's more like theme and keywords or key pieces of vocabulary for those who might, you know, not have an understanding of what's there. It's a learning tool.
Okay. Yeah. And one of the things that I also did was go back through the notes about all the research that various ones of you in the group did and think about those as also being a set of cards. And some of them overlap with this and some don't, so that's one of the areas where maybe there's something to add in as well. So what I wanted to do, we've got time, is to take a chunk of time and have you look at this while we're sitting here. And mark, you can circle the date or you can put a star next to something, but where you think something really, really should be on that timeline. My goal is that maybe we cut this from 80 to about 50, maybe, by the time we're done. And don't worry about, we're not going to sit here and count them up here. I'll do that back at the office. But as a way of really, again, trying to focus. If you want to add something and star it, that's okay too. And then on March 2nd, when we're having our first public program, that program is really a chance to have the public come in and help us build this website too, to give us more input. And Monica, not this Monica, the other Monica on the project, Monica Zimmerman, is designing an activity where people would, again, take this kind of content and hone it down. So continuously we're refining it to get it to what we think is most important to be on that timeline. So I just want to have you take time now and to sit and do this work. And that's part of why I brought markers, if you really wanted to be emphatic about what you were saying.
Big red marks all right. Over the paper.
I have a question. When you said 25 cards, that includes text, images?
No. That's just on the timeline, that little square, like where it says 1959 and there's a square. That's the card.
Okay.
So it says 1850, this would create one card. 1865 would create another card.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah. Here you go. And do we have any more? Okay, we need more. How many more?
Beth?
Yes.
It's Mona. Are you asking for the date, the specific date that we think should be highlighted? And if you are, if there's something, for example, a document that I think is important that HSP, for example, has, can
mm-hmm.
I add that?
Sure, go ahead and add it now. I mean, that's where we're going to get down the line. And if you know something right now, go ahead. We'll start gathering that. But really, the main purpose now is to get down to just what are the main dates/events we want to highlight. And then if we don't know documents off the top of our head, that's a research task somebody will take on. But if you know one, wonderful.
Thanks.
And as I say, if you did research in a particular area and it's not here and you think it should be, add it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And, you know, we can take probably a good 20 minutes or even a little more if it takes longer. So don't feel rushed on this one. This is the main part of this meeting.
Quick technical question. I didn't think about this before, but on the cards, is there like a character or word limit on each card?
On the timeline card, it's pretty small, which is why we decide maybe we would just go with titles that would then lead you to the page. Once you get to the page, we've got lots of space.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah. Okay. And we can link out. Because some of what you've written I began to think of as, you know, that page more than the card. But
yeah.
Yeah, if you see places where they can
absolutely.
Be combined, make note on that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In other words, is how can we squeeze as much on there
that's
as possible?
Right. That's right.
Beth, I have a functional question about the site. Is there any tagging functionality so that you could have a keyword
that somebody
could click on and then see sort of content that relates?
That's what I was thinking with you saying that you were putting those words on the
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a, as an organizing principle on the site, I'm sure that they can do something. I mean, if you can organize it by year, and you can organize it by what, source or visual medium?
Well, the thing is that the timeline, organizing it by year, is, what do you call it? I'm blanking out, but it's a thing that you add to the Omeka site. It's not the Omeka site.
Okay.
Itself. Plugin. That's the word I want.
Okay.
It's a plugin. So I don't know if Omeka can tag what's in the timeline. But the timeline's going to link to the pages that are in Omeka, and maybe we could tag there.
Yeah. Because the whole purpose of a tag is like to do it thematically, right? Like tobacco workers, that's a theme.
Manufacturing.
There you go.
Community groups. Yeah.
And a tag also, isn't it a searchable term that will go and get more views to the site?
It can help with SEO, I think, yeah. That's what you're at.
Yeah, so we'll ask.
She must be in the front. Oh, because of 1900, never mind. I'm just thinking of the address.
You actually create that timeline on a Google Sheet. And then it pulls it into the...
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Thought of that later. We need maps.
We need maps of
we
the
do.
City.
Yeah.
Yep.
And of sort of demographic change over time.
Yeah. I was looking at, we've got some that Victor used in his presentation. So I wondered if we could use those.
Okay, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, I have to ask him about that.
I remember going to the presentation. I don't remember the maps that he used because it was like a year ago.
Well, on the Google Drive we have for the group,
mm-hmm.
his PowerPoint's in there, and that's what reminded me. I actually thought of it while I was writing this agenda, so I've got
maps
in the middle
yeah,
of the agenda.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, how can you talk about neighborhoods without maps?
Yeah. I mean, especially if they're like pre-existing maps that are in the archive. It's a source and it's a map at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It does double duty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry, Mona and Sandy. This doesn't make the most exciting conference call.
They're doing the same thing we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm bringing up websites with lots of color on them.
Oh.
To get me thinking.
Good. Yeah, this is very much a working meeting. And these things that you throw out about download, tagging, I mean, this is all kinds of stuff that's great to have a lot of people's brains helping think through this.
So I'm making my own notes on colors on the form I'll be sending you.
Okay.
Remind me one day to show you the original list.
Oh, yes.
Just, you know, just
so
relax.
I'm curious why you didn't put the address of the agencies there.
Did I?
You didn't.
No.
I thought it would be cool because most of them were in the areas where all the Latinos were.
Well, write that on there as a note so we'll remember that.
Actually, this guy was really good friends with my grandma.
Oh, cool.
It was sad that he died. You know, they never found his killer.
I mean, the list has kind of like a... It's a reflection, I guess, of my own bias. So I'm like more interested in politics and demography and labor history. There's less in there about the church. There's a little bit stuff in there, you know, about community organization formation, but it's one person's take, you know, so.
But when I was looking over, the church made me think about when we were in the Italian market,
mm-hmm.
and we've got, I think, some video of those presentations, and it would go right with that.
Okay.
Some of the video we'll be able to embed would be also things that came out of the PAWS meetings, like when people are talking about the research on cigar workers, for instance. We can embed that right in there.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how long should the videos be? Do you want to make them too long?
No. And each individual video wouldn't be that long.
Fully in general, right? And not Puerto Ricans.
I'm sorry, which one are you looking at?
This one.
In 1950?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the city. That's the city
overall.
That's the city overall.
Okay.
I couldn't see. I thought you were talking about this here. About
no, because
this,
you have that there. And
the
then
issue
you have,
of sterilization.
Then you
jump, and I'm
yeah.
like, well, what?
And you jump into that, so. And then it separates the fake.
I wonder if there'd be a way to kind of your original list, like somehow splay the pages out so you could take a photograph so we could show as part of our process.
From
it
the
came from
the,
here.
The 22 page to this.
I don't know.
Oy vey.
If that would work or not.
Well, the original list is not just focused on Puerto Ricans. It's also focused on Latinos in general.
Oh, okay.
Coming to Philadelphia, so there's stuff in there about Mexicans
oh, okay.
and Cubans, and so the first part was just eliminating everything that had nothing to do with Puerto Ricans.
Okay.
And then after that, it's like, okay, decision time, what goes and what stays.
Oh, okay.
And I think the list went all the way back to the 1500s. So it's like, okay, I can cut out 300 years safely. It's not a problem.
Actually, you know what? One of the things when I looked at, though, was I wanted to know when did the first Puerto Ricans come to Philadelphia as a beginning for the timeline.
Did I include the bibliography with this?
No.
I should have done that because there was an extensive bibliography at the end of the original list that I have to go back to for that information.
Okay.
Well, I thought that's why you started in the 1850s. I mean,
yeah.
The first Puerto Rican would be difficult to assess, but it looks like, you know, by 65, there was a Cuban and Puerto Rican chapter already formed, so it must have been
go back
enough people at that point.
enough people at that point.
Yeah, I think the first text is more so to provide like context of what the manufacturing sector was like, and just to, you know, you want to have like local information of stuff about Puerto Ricans, but what's their story in the midst of all this other stuff? Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why I provided like these other statistics.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
Can I get the mark? What joins with what?
Yeah.
Oh, did you wanted a color marker?
Yeah.
It's not pressed too hard, it's just gonna go through.
I really wanted something like colored pencils, but we didn't have any.
Oh, we got some.
Best I could do.
I don't think we're ever going to go to these prices again. What do you think, Carmen? Every Puerto Rico, we flying every day to Puerto Rico.
See, I'm looking at it again. I could have cut out this stuff about the Platt Amendment. It's got nothing to do with anything.
You think?
Well, but it's dealing specifically with Cuba, not with Puerto Rico. So that's the argument that I would make in favor of cutting. Because it's an issue of there's so much stuff here. What's got to get mushed together?
Yeah,
what's got to get cut?
Yeah, but I really think that you can do cards in periods, which is what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, I mean, you can combine the 50s all the way to 77 because it's about the formation of the, you know, that early beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So the card can be that, and then it can branch into, you know, into more detail in the back.
Okay. It's about picking what are the most logical ways to organize these things.
But then, you know, 97 and 98 are the two wars, right? The two big moments. One,
mm-hmm.
the autonomy,
mm-hmm.
the early autonomy from Spain, and then, ba-bam,
mm-hmm.
the U.S. invasion.
Yeah. I mean, 53 is another one that needs its own card just because of the riots and the fallout because of that.
Right. And with those, the thing to me would be, you know, what is also happening in other communities, because I'm sure that the riots in the Puerto Rican community were not the only one.
Mm.
Similar to in 1917 with the Jones Act, that's in the middle of World War I. So,
bodegas, those are the corner stores.
Oh.
Yeah. It's my favorite thing about the neighborhood is the bodega.
That in itself would just be a cool, such a cool interactive map. Like, I haven't seen them pop up as years, like, time I move on, the locations start popping up as much as happening.
Oh, the photographic documentation, probably the other stuff. Of that, that can touch on it too.
One of the things we thought about was you can have more than one timeline on the site. Because we thought, should we just do one in English and one in Spanish? But then that seemed very cumbersome.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back to the other. But what you were just saying makes me think you could have another, you could go to another page that had a timeline specific to something.
Right.
Like that.
Like Operation Bootstrap should probably have its own timeline because it's one umbrella topic, but, you know, so much changes over.
Can you write that again on
Absolutely.
Capture? That'd be great.
Or you might find things like, you see things that keep reoccurring, like firsts.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a timeline that was all firsts, like the first judge, the first representative, the first, and it kind of goes...
Again,
and the same with organizations, key organizations, or if they're in like proximity to each other time-wise, that could be on the same card.
Yeah,
One of the things with many, not many, but some of the organizations is that we have their archives at HSP, so we want to link to the Finding Aid for that archive as well. Yeah,
there's the obvious ones. Like, you know, I think you guys have the Aspida papers. You have the Queen.
The Merchants Association.
The Merchants Association. So those are like
the Lighthouse.
Yeah.
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 The way they came over here.
Sorry.
Juan.
I forgot why I put that there. It's a good question.
I don't think he was his right hand person.
No, but there's a reason why, and I can't.
Well, I know he became.
I can't remember why.
He's connected with St. Peter's. But Juan also was.
But he wasn't in city council until like what after Uncle was there though.
I think it was after, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put them there, so.
Yeah. In terms of how many years he was there in office?
Well, no, the year he came into office. Yeah, because it kept going to each year was a Latino, so
mm-hmm.
I think she had a year.
Just in terms of timing, are people like around page 7? Is that about where people are?
I'm on 5.
Five. Kind of like when she was saying,
I don't like it.
She's faster. Because we have a couple other things to talk about, so I don't, maybe by 10 after them.
Okay.
Well, the most recent history is also going to be the most contentious because people are still alive. People got opinions about stuff.
Yeah.
So.
That's the same way we should put the years.
I mean, that's why it's almost easier to deal with dead people in history. Because know what they can't argue with you.
So true. Family members.
Yes, absolutely.
What is it?
The PRA was taking over the offices of Jimmy Carter to talk about land because there was a squatters movement at the time. Yeah. This is born of like interviews that I've done with, you know, various folks who were involved in that movement at the time. Things you think you know what you're writing and you don't know what you're writing.
Once you've looked at it enough times,
The other idea would be to come up with 20 themes for each one of the cards, and then each of those themes can have a timeline behind it.
You could, but you have to remember how much time we have to work on this, too. I mean,
correct, but the timeline is here, right? So we have these 80 themes. It would be just a reorganization of the themes.
Cutting and splicing, moving things around.
Right, because, you know, for example, I see, you know, the early community, right, the early formation, then also the formation of organizations could be another one, and then you can have the early you know, the early community groups that were formed in the 1917 and whatever, until the more, you know, larger organizations like Concilio and the other ones. But those could, so it could be organizations, and then behind it you could do the subgroups that are, you know, that Ariel has put here. And that can, you know, it just organizes the timeline in larger themes. And then, you know, if the economics would be another one, and, you know, I don't know, I mean, I would have to look at it in more detail, but we can probably organize the stuff that is already here into those groups.
I'm not opposed to the idea. I'm not opposed at all. I mean, I think that there are some natural themes in here,
right?
My biggest concern is not which themes, but, like, am I missing a major theme? You know, like women. Is that a theme that's not represented here?
Well,
you know what I mean?
You do mention it in the textiles, and that's an important, right, aspect of it. But, I mean, that's where the archives and, you know, and the connections that can be made, you know, with whatever is available in the archives, filling some of the gaps.
Yeah.
And there's also the artifacts that are going to drive the timeline, right? I mean, so, like, for each one of these, there isn't necessarily going to be an artifact, but when we do find our documents, I guess, for the most part, because not a lot of artwork, mostly documents, photographs. So wherever there's an object, that'll sort of bring, like, sort of coalesce some of these subjects into one, maybe kind of a topic, you know, like, say there's, like, this really great couple of photos of, you know, early organizations, then you could sort of maybe cut a couple cards out that way, but still touch on the, because,
or it can be that there's a basic chronological timeline that's on the homepage, but one of those tabs could be explore this thematically, and then, you know, the different ways
and
of
other,
cutting it.
The other thing that you said, Beth, that was really interesting, that's sort of making me rethink all this now, is the fact that if we're moving towards the front, the theme of the neighborhood, because of the grant, how does that recontextualize all of this information?
Right.
You know? That's really the thing that's I'm sort of like trying to work through right now, and, like, this is gonna take not just 20 minutes. This is gonna take, I mean, I need a little while.
Well, I put, like, in some of them where it's like, you know, information on numbers of people, like, that definitely is, like, and they're coming from this neighborhood and that neighborhood, and go over here, and they're traveling together. And what does that mean? So, like, I can see where the story is behind it. So that would be cool to explore.
That's like a starting point.
Starting point, like,
group,
really a good guide.
And to group it as one. Yeah, I mean, I really think that the information is all here. It's how we organize it and group it so that nothing is missed, right? But at the same time, it fits into the format and the template that, you know, that we're going to be using.
And we did, you know, we came to that because we, back in December, talked about the timeline being the core, the spine around which
core,
it was all going to be
right,
built around.
Kind of the chain, with all its links.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Organizing it.
Yeah, I wish these were all index cards. And just, like,
Yeah.
I think that's what we'll get to by March 2nd, probably.
But, I mean, by setting it up kind of in the chart,
thank you.
One, that's just a visual organization, but you just can cut and splice and move things around. It makes, from a technical perspective, it makes the data easy to manipulate. But, I mean, the point that you made about the actual artifacts, the material culture as the other driver to go with the theme, Yeah, we have some room. We have at least, we want 20 cards?
Well, they suggested...
20 and 25.
Between 20 and 20.
Yeah, 25.
If we have, 10 good artifacts or pictures, whether it's a map or photos...
Video.
Yeah, I think it's a good place to start.
But remember, we're going to
have
a lot because there's people that have been, doing research and there's going to be an opportunity to interview a couple of the young people. And so, those connections are going to tie to, something that is related to the time, so like when in the oral history, the women that were interviewed in the oral history project relate to the textiles, there's a plug-in.
Yeah.
So, we don't have, photos of the 1850s, but there's photos that date back, to the 40s at least, and there's natural plug-ins for those.
Yeah, I guess because there's so many different things in the archive to work with, and I've only worked with some of those collections on a limited basis, and it's just text, so I don't have as much familiarity with,
with, numbers you want, an infographic or something, something that sort of brings it alive.
Yeah.
And it could be that the timeline just, a intellectual construct. I mean, I know that we're working with a specific piece of software, but it could be that's, the lost leader on, if you think about when you go onto a website, timelines are really interesting, they're interactive, but once you start to sort of hit the ground on that subject, you're clicking on everything. You're going deeper, you're deeper. So it could be that the timeline, it has 20 things, and we're not going to spend forever on the website, but it could be that there's another more visual section with big blocks where you click on all the oral histories or click on maps of the neighborhoods. It's there as a sort of regulator and cohesive sort of organizing, but it isn't going to constrain us in the sense of think about it.
Is there limitations in the subpage number that you're going to have?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, and that's a
it's really idea. More how much we have in terms of human
time,
resources
time
to get it done.
Right, and we can't hash it forever because we only have 3 months. Once we commit in March.
Right.
We have 3 months because it needs to be produced, June by June. So.
Right. Exactly. This is kind of sitting here thinking how to do this, because there's this interest in what would be most interesting to, quote, younger people, I thought maybe what I could do is ask you if you're under 25, pick an age, if you would, on the first page, write the number 25, and then I'll just know that that came from somebody who's on the younger side, as a way of getting a sense of that. The other thing I wanted to have...
I'm not one of those.
I want to feel good about myself.
We don't have a lot of time for a conversation like this. It gets really tricky.
He has to leave, so...
Oh, okay.
Put 25 on the page.
Can you give me your email at least?
Yeah, okay.
And then I can follow up with you. Because it's been great. I hope we can call on you for more.
Okay.
Absolutely. He's here every day in the afternoon after school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or, maybe not every day, but just about.
He doesn't have a cot in the corner.
He doesn't have a cot in the corner.
Okay, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Great. All right, thanks so much.
Cool.
Really appreciate it. All right, Monday.
And remember, March 2nd,
right? 3 to 5
p.m. You hand him a flock before he leaves. Yeah.
Thank you.
Here, I'll give you the other handout I was going to talk about, and then no. Okay. So we don't have time to have this whole conversation, but we need to get it started, and that is we need a title for this thing, for this website, because as we start talking about it, even if it's a working title that we refine a little bit, as I say, this is not even a good way to do it, but... If anything comes to you, having gone through the content now, something jumped out at you, that you think might make a pithy title. If you also would put that on the back of the timeline, we'll begin taking ideas and move from there. The program for March 2nd, we needed something quickly, and we came up with Neighbors, the Puerto Rican Philly Experience. In some ways, maybe that even would work for the website. Or you could take that and jiggle that around in your mind and, you know, tweak it a little bit. So, as I say, this isn't a time where we can necessarily have this whole conversation, but I wanted you to get thinking about it. And then if you think of anything now, write it down, but also just email me. You know, in the middle of the night, it comes to you.
And when we started talking about this, you know, and I think, you know, the more that things get, you know, so cantankerous racially and, you know, and ethnically in this country, it becomes even more important is that, you know, and that's why I, you know, we chose that title because, you know, we're all neighbors, right? I mean, it's thinking of ways in which this work connects us, doesn't separate us.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important, I think, for this project.
And I really like the fact that you keep reminding us of that. One of the things that Carmen and I had talked about in a meeting with this website was trying to go through content that's already developed, particularly on HSP's website, but it could be on Taer or anywhere, that takes similar issues to what's being discussed in this history and looks at it for another population or another neighborhood in Philadelphia, that can also be a link on a page. So, you know, talking about economic discrimination, you could say link to the materials on HSP.org about the Irish riots of 1844,
mm-hmm.
something
mm-hmm.
like that, so that we can begin to show a little bit of that crossover.
Hi guys, this is Henrietta, and I missed some meetings, so I just have a question about the first document on the timeline.
Sure.
It looks like you're stopping at 2006. Is there a reason for that? Like stopping at 2006 as opposed to date?
Well, my original thought was to stop in 1979 because that's, according to most of the literature, that's when Puerto Rican history in the United States stops. But I just decided to keep going past that.
The
question is then, like, do I stop in 2018? Do I stop in 2000? Because technically speaking, 2019 is also history now. So I had to stop somewhere.
I understand.
And this is really just a first pass at it. That's all it is.
The reason why I ask is that my thought is there is some, like, how far have we come, you know, or what have it to show where, you know, where we are today, you know, as opposed to, you know, because it's still, like you said, you know, last year's history as well. But, so, I mean, if we step at 2006, for those who are, and I heard someone say something about the younger generation. They do, you know, want to look back all the way to 19, you know, where were you, in 1800s? But they also want to take a look at, you know, where they are today as Puerto Ricans and what some of the changes that they've seen, I would think. That would be something that they want. They would be more interested in, you know, not necessarily. I mean, I don't know, but that's just my feeling.
Yeah. I mean,
a little bit more.
I mean, I completely agree. I mean, I'm very open that this is a list based upon my own personal, you know, reading of history, and you know what the kind of stuff that I'm interested in, and so I welcome, you know, other perspectives, especially if we can tie. I mean, there's nothing in there about Hurricane Maria, you know, and families that were displaced. You see what I'm saying? So even I can see the flaws.
In Puerto Rico, you know.
I can absolutely see the flaws in this.
But we had to have a place to begin.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's right.
You know,
I understand. I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other issue is if we put in until 2019, does it keep evolving? Do next year you add? And then are we going to be, you know, we're trying to consolidate.
Yeah.
If we add, we're going to be at 370
But I mean, I just think that, you know, we want to bring, you know, younger people into, you know, make them excited about history. And to bring excitement about history, you have to have, you know, some history that they are familiar with. You know, and it's not necessarily looking all the way back to the 1800s or, you know, whatever, but to something that they can at least, you know, some things they can relate to.
I mean, I think that there's a way around that, like, if by using the most current 2010 statistical data as a way to frame, the movement of people around Philadelphia and within the greater Philadelphia sort of metropolitan area, we could make 2010 sort of the cutoff point, possibly, maybe not. I mean, historians got to make decisions about why you start the story at a place and why you stop the story at a place. And if we're using neighborhoods as the point of calibration, I think using the census data is a logical place to start the conversation.
Well, it sounds like you're saying you have to stop it.
And stop it as well, yes. That's what's unsaid.
Yeah, I mean, 2010 maybe more reasonable. At least Masada was born. I mean, people, you know, between 10 and 25 were born in 2010.
Right.
I think that including Maria, though, would allow the conversation about neighborhoods to,
for sure.
As Sandy, I guess what Sandy was saying, tell more aspirational stories and that maybe do sort of like create a nice like a nice end to the project as you're like sort of going through and but that I guess that would just be
I knew that there was something I missed. Thank you for reminding me of that. It's like, oh, another thing that I missed on the list.
No,
but
it's incredibly comprehensive.
But the thing is, let's say that we stop in 2010. You know, there's a couple of different things that we can do. We can either just leave a card that is open and says, you know, lots of things have happened between, you know, since 2010, and then create links, because I mean an incredible resource of current data that is constantly being updated is El Centro in New York.
Yeah.
And we can just create a link to them, and people can definitely, you know, update lots of movements of people, where they're going, how they're going, the economics, all of that is, you know, is really current and being updated constantly. So,
that's,
you know, there's ways in which we can keep it moving, even though we're not going to be in charge.
Right.
In
we
charge
can't
of
be
that
doing
information.
It, but that would allow it
but
to
that,
have a way. I
but
like
that link would allow that information to, you know, keep being updated.
Will the website just be the timeline, or will there be a menu in that way? I mean, because the timeline would have, like, an end, but the resources, like you're saying, like, they could just be active.
Well, and that's what I say, that each thing on the timeline goes to a page, which then can go to all sorts of different resources.
Like, even just, like, a general kind of menu, like, these are different
resources. That's what the, quote, tabs across the top do.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the other things is slightly hokey, but, you know, the last card can be sort of where do you put yourself, you know, tell yours. Not we're going to have a mechanism for them to tell us their story, but have them think about their story, their neighborhood or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way of also thinking about it. What I wanted to do... This was really hard for me to figure out how to do this. I know that all of you want to help, which is wonderful, 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 because we couldn't get it all done otherwise. But I need to also think about a way to manage getting things done, and not everyone wants to do the same thing. So I was trying to come up with possible tasks that, in a sense, people are working on creating bits of content. And then that would feed probably to Renee and myself, and we would be then putting it into the website. So I came up with, this is not comprehensive, because there's probably something I forgot, but I came up with this list of task. And then I was trying to even them out in terms of how long I thought each task would take. Because at this point in the grant, I have a certain amount of money that I can rechannel to pay PAWS members to continue. But the original PAWS group that we had expired at the end of December. And I don't want to take advantage of anybody. So I was like, well, some of this work is going to end up being your volunteering, but I also want to be able to pay people for something. So I thought, you know, if somebody said, oh, I will choose this, then I can write a contract that says I will give you so much money for that. And if you chose two of them, well, then you should get double the amount of money, that kind of thing. So I want to pass this out. And again, you can put your name on it and check it off and return it to me now, or you can think about it and send it to me over the next couple weeks. But I tried to chunk it into, like, I'm really interested in oral histories, and I'll go identify, you know, once we have our timeline, I'll go and identify some oral histories to go with them. And I will do a response to that. We talked about updating them by having people respond, doing an audio response to what they heard and how that oral history resonates with them today. That you could take one of these cards and you could work on finding all the things to populate a page. That you could volunteer to be a translator to help us get more of it translated. Or if we have some money that we can pay for some professional translating, but we still need somebody who is a native speaker to read it, to proof it, you know, because I can't proof it. So there are these different tasks there. And the people who couldn't come today, I mailed all of this out to them, too, because different people had indicated. I mean, it was great. Our PAWS group was like 16 people, and 13 people in December volunteered to continue on. So really happy about that part of the process. But I want to find a way, as I say, to channel that and to give remuneration. Can't talk.
What's an event offering prompt? What's that?
Where are we looking? Oh, okay. For March 2nd at the beginning. The event on March 2nd, which is the other thing I want us to talk about. That's good. We've got 5 minutes left. So, as I said at the beginning, the main goal of that event is to bring more people in to learn about this project, to get their insights into it so that hopefully this website will be something that lots of people will want to come to and use. The way we've set up the day is giving people a little food for thought by having Ariel do, I almost think of it like his bus tour, but doing a little bit of history about Puerto Rican neighborhoods, and then having activities people can do. And Monica's going to do this, has said she'll take over finding a way to do this activity to have people tell us which of the historic events most interest them. Another one was based on the interest in the group of having community curated art exhibit, like the print exhibit that was here, is having some prints up on the wall and having people who are attending go around and be videotaped responding to them. But we have to have a way to get their responses to kind of make sense. So I need a group of people to commit to working on that part of the afternoon, that they would say, okay, let's say it's these four posters here, that they would welcome people in to see them and then give them a question to respond to. So it means working ahead to figure out what are the questions that are going to get us meaty responses that have something to do with the topic, you know, that kind of thing. So that first one is to work on that piece of it.
Marcela is already working on those pieces that people have identified when they've come.
Excellent.
Yeah. And this March 2nd, one more time, the questions will be asked both in Spanish and in English, or only in English?
If you get somebody interested in responding that only speaks Spanish, then the question would be has to be asked in Spanish.
Right. So it'd be good to have a bilingual couple people working together on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm actually interested in that.
Good. Well, then if you can just jot that down on there and give that back to me, or send me an email.
Ideally, to go back to that one, the people, the group, like 1 to 3 people, would let me say meet a week or two beforehand, right? To go and let's discuss these.
Yeah, meet with Masada, who's been choosing the...
You know, I like this question. No, I don't think we should ask that one kind of deal, right?
Right, right, right. So it's really getting some people together to take ownership of that portion of the program.
Question on the due dates on some of these, particularly the identification of other resources.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be, the cards will be identified and made, and you're just searching. I'm trying to identify the task here. You're kind of finding
those other kind of resources, like we were talking about before with the Irish riots, like what else is out there that relates to this for different populations, or... you know, I think I also listed finding the finding aids that are on HSP site, that kind of thing.
Okay, so that would be due within...
All right, so we've got basically 3 months.
I don't want to overcommit and have, like, 4 things to do by...
Right, right. So there's a certain amount of work I want to get done by April 1st because I want to be able to say something and show something at this conference. And when we put in for it, we clearly told them it'll be, you know, the beginning of a website. It won't be finished. And it's we're really going to talk about the process. So we have to have a certain amount done by then. But in my mind, what I really want is to have the whole timeline part finished by the end of April, all the history part on the cards done, or on the secondary pages, and then adding on those other pieces that are the related resources we can do during the month of May.
Okay.
Because they're not as high a priority to me. I mean, they're important, but if we run out of time, they're not as crucial.
Right.
But then we need to have the website ready by June, because we have to have an event in June, which we haven't even begun to plan, and we have to get to getting a date for that pretty soon, too. Monica raises her eyebrows at me. And we probably should do it before March. Have that before March 2nd, so we can announce it at the March 2nd program. So we have to move
just
to that pretty
quickly. Make it late June.
So I'm thinking is late. Yeah, I'm with you.
Late June.
Either way.
Late June.
But that's why in my head, if I say the website has to be done by June 1st, and the program isn't really actually till let's say June 20th, a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah. So can you share what exactly is going to happen on March 2nd?
Yes. Well, March, okay, so you want to hand out the flyer?
Yeah, sure.
That was the last thing on the agenda, which Carmen said you're going to do a translated one, too.
That was good. Well done.
So this was, like, done, finished today, hot off the presses, but we wanted something that you could all begin to, you know, tell people, come, help us build this website.
Got it.
So the whole idea is to kind of publicly say, we've had this project, and... we've learned all sorts of great, neat stuff about the Puerto Rican experience in Philadelphia, and we need your help deciding what if it's going to go on to a website. And so the first part of the say would be Ariel doing a short presentation so everybody can learn neat stuff about that history, and then breaking into a very informal kind of experience where people can move around. They can look at the artwork that has been put up specifically for this, so of course they can tour the rest of Cayer as well. And they can do those video responses. They can go and do this sort of game-like thing with Monica where they sort through what history events really resonate with them. Their refreshments, that kind of thing. Just conversation.
How long did you want me to do this?
I think I put in 20 minutes.
We can talk about...
Yeah, we have to...
content.
Right. Is there anything else you want to say about March 2nd?
Well, so there's an earlier program that is happening that I hope we can convince some of those people to stay. But basically what is happening is that the artist that is there now who is working on a mural is going to finish that mural, paint over it because it's what she does. You know, so it's finished, people see it, then she paints over it. And it's also the launch of a children's book that is, you know, that is related to the show. So that's what's happening, you know, from 2 to 3. And then at 3, this program, you know, starts. And probably around 3:30 should be the formal program in the theater, right, where we explain and show anything on screen that we need to show. And then people go about doing their activities.
Right. Yeah, I did forget that one piece. I was hoping that we'd have what didn't work today, but have sort of the next stage of being able to at least show them a little bit of what the timeline might look like, so they get a sense of where we're going.
Yeah, and maybe an
which is what I do when you'd finish. I'd get up and do that, and then... So you need to tell everybody to come. One of the goals of this grant was to get sort of HSP traditional audience interested in the subject matter and up here, and then in June to get the Tayer group down to HSP. So I'll need to work on that.
And the event, I'll just chime in and mention, the event is up on both of our websites, and we're sort of getting our communications together piece by piece, but we will send you guys like sample messaging that you can use to send to your friends, family, colleagues, whomever. So like little email blurb, tweet, Facebook post, etc. if you're active on social media.
Got it.
Cool. Okay. So that was a lot that we wanted to cover. I really appreciate your coming and working. So what I need back from you are these. And then if you have gone ahead and done anything with that, that's great too.
So, do you have these
little
comments? Can I
read
it to
myself? When you say these, what are you...
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I can't see what you're...
You're right. I'm talking about the timelines, the task sheet, and then for those of you on the phone, the design piece that I sent out with the email, too. If you can send me those back either by mail or scan them and email them to me, that'd be great. Because then next week we're going to really work on putting together, see if there's any kind of consensus for this timeline. Thanks.
Will do.
I can't tell.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for the three of you for hanging in there on the phone, too, and working along with us. I really appreciate it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a good night. Take care.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Beth. Good night, all.
Good night.
He was like... He would tell you, did I get first Latino?
Did I get everyone's?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Center City.
Yeah. Okay, we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
All right. Well, you'll be getting lots more emails.
Yeah, I want to get an electronic version of that file to put up on Facebook.
Yeah, for you. Yeah. And I have to say, one of the things I've got to do is the other technical advisors, I've got to loop them back in and we can get them helping to promote too.
Yeah. This one. I was going to say, we'll put it up as a Facebook event too, which is finally gone there.
Yes.
That's probably the best thing to share, honestly. Then, yeah.
Actually, if we have this ready.